The Bible said in Joshua 14, verse 7, are you there, class? All right. I'm sorry for calling you class, but that's why I do the folks at New Life. Because I'm always teaching. I got in the habit to say class. So this when I do that, just say he thinks he's at home. But, you know. verse 7 said, I'm 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to expound the land. I brought in word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever. Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord, my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. And even since the Lord spake of the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Yet as my strength was this day, as it was in that the day, and Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, where the Lord spake in that day. For I heard us in the day how the Anakims were there, that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord still be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Back up to verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now, you going to help me again tonight? I told you I'm not going to do like I do at the house, make you preach me a whole sermon. But I do want you to tell, because I really feel like, preacher, I really feel like that God's getting ready to take this place out to a place you never dreamed that you would ever see. But I want you to go ahead and look at somebody standing, either one you choose, and tell them like you mean it. Now, don't tell them like, you know, like you maybe just got up, but tell them like you mean it. Go ahead and look at them and say, whatever you do, don't get distracted. Tell one more neighbor. Say, neighbor, whatever you do, don't get distracted. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you tonight for your goodness and your grace. I'm glad I serve a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly all we can even ask to think. Lord, I realize every day I live that you don't have to have me, but I sure got to have you. I beg you to walk over this place and throw your weight around. I beg you to bind every demon and every devil in hell and show that devil he's just a creature and you're the creator of the universe. And I pray, Spirit of God, maybe somebody sitting in this place lost. I pray, God, this real night, they'll say no to Satan, but they'll say yes to Jesus. And maybe somebody walked in here defeated, and they'll walk out encouraged. I pray the kingdom would come on earth like it is in heaven. God, I pray we'll all walk out of here different and in the way we came in, not because of me, but God, all because of you. And we're certain to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. Good God, I feel a breath. I'm from another world. Come on, boy, you got some work to do. Come here. I was thinking, preacher, some years ago, I was out soul winning, and it was hot like it is now. And me and Brother Jesse Ray Long, my soul winning partner, I wasn't even pastoring then. I was going to Bethany Baptist where I spent about 4.5 years. And we went and knocked on the door, and nobody came to the door. And I heard somebody say around the side of the house. They said, come around here. We're around the side of the house. I walked around the side of the house. There was an old gentleman sitting on a picnic table, had a pair of bib overalls on. I said, sir, I said, we're out business from Bethany Baptist Church. I just spoke to Jesse Ray Long. I just letting somebody know that somebody loves them and cares about them. I said, you attending a church anywhere? He said, sir, I'm a Primitive Baptist preacher. I said, that's wonderful. I said, I ask preachers the same thing. Ask anybody else. I said, if you were to die right now, are you 100% sure that you're going to go to heaven? Well, he said, young man, let me tell you something. He said, can't nobody really know that. He said, one day you're going to die and your soul going to sleep. And if the good deeds outweigh your bad deeds at the great resurrection, and then you'll get to go to heaven then. I said, sir, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I want to honor you at your age. I said, but I want you to listen to me. I said, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible said the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. I said, if the Lord's up in heaven, and then he tell me as a believer to be absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord. Would you tell me where I'm going to be? He scratched his head, and he said, I've been working some long hours. And he said, my mind just ain't working right. I bless God, his mind may not have been working right, but that book is working right. If you washed in the blood of Jesus and saved by the grace of God, when you shut your eyes down here, you open your eyes up in glory. Somebody help me. Lord, have mercy. I've been saved for 39 years by the grace of God. I tell you, when I got born again, they start singing that song. That's a new name written down in glory. Thank God it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. How many know your name's in glory? Say amen right there. But I'll tell you something. One of the things that you don't want to do as a church, I'm telling you, a tabernacle tonight. One thing you don't want to let the devil ever do. I don't ever let Satan steal your shout. Don't ever steal your praise. Our old timers used to sing that song. I just show I have. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Good God Almighty. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm happy he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tell me I'm his home, and the joy we share as we carry there, none other has ever known. Oh, I'm happy tonight. Amen. Come here. Whew. Let me mess you up. Well, I got y'all got me all. I better go ahead and get this to you. As I go over there, if I take you where I really want to take you, I'll be like a fly in molasses. I'll get stuck and I'll never get back. So I better get this to you. Now watch this now. I want you to go ahead and be getting your ink pen, and I want you to go ahead and get an ink pen or a pencil. I get in your hand, and I want you to hold your place in Joshua chapter 14 for just a moment, and I put something there, and go with me to Psalms chapter number 23. Hold in Joshua. I want to show you something. Now, we're going somewhere tonight. Watch this. We might get 38,000 feet up. Thor and Cruz may not never come down. Watch this. The Bible said in Psalm 23, I want you at the count of three, I want you to take and take your pencil or your pen. You don't have to write in your Bible, but I just want you to put a dot at the count of three. I want everybody to put a dot somewhere around Psalm 23 that's big enough for you to see it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Put a dot there. Now look up here at me. Now, look back down at Psalm 23. Could you tell me what the first thing you see is the what? The dot. Now watch this. The greatest tool of the enemy is distraction. You see how you got distracted? You put a Psalm 23 said, the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not want. But instead of you seeing that, the devil wants you just to see the dot. Because the greatest tool of the devil is distraction. Now let me tell you what he'll do, bro. He'll take that you love the most. Your children, your wife, your husband, your ministry, your business, whatever it is you love the most, he will take that and use it as a weapon against your mind. Whatever you love the most, because his greatest tool that the enemy has is distraction. And so tonight, I'm going to try to help you, but I want you to get this tonight. Caleb is 85 years old, and here he is at 85. I want you to see, he's standing in Canaan land, a land that flows with milk and honey. A place that God promised him 45 years ago. And now, here's where Caleb is standing. But Caleb said, I want you to know something. Before he's there where God promised him he'd ever be. But 40 years before Caleb ever stood on that land, Caleb stood right here 40 years before. Now watch this, because you remember in Numbers 13, 26 to 33, how did Moses send out 12 spies to go spy out the land? You remember? And listen, and they came back. They went into this land. At 85, he's standing. But before he ever got there, they came to the land, and they came back 40 years before. And now they're standing here, and they're telling Moses, it's just like God said. That's everything. And Joshua and Caleb said, look, if you think I'm lying to you, it's just like God said. He said, I want you to see something. I've got the proof that it's just like God said. He said, I've got the proof that it's flowing with milk and honey. He said, I got it in my hand. And he came back and said, look at it, Moses. Let's go get it. Glory. Let's go, boys. Let's go take it. But wait a minute. Them 10 say, yeah. There's grapes, there's bananas, but they didn't tell you about them giants that's over there. They make us look just like we're nothing but grasshoppers. But Joshua and Caleb said, let's go take it. We can do it. They said, hey, I'm telling you, boys, and watch this. Because of the 12 spies, now I want you to notice something. I want you to go back to Joshua 14, and I want you to see something tonight. I want to give you, in just a moment, three things that I want you to grab tonight. Look in Joshua 14 and look at verse number 11. Caleb now is 85 years old. And he said, I'm yet as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me as my servant, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain where the Lord spake in the day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Look up this way, class. Caleb said, look, I was in that land 40 years ago. I said, God had taken us from a land of just not enough. And we come to the wilderness of just enough. And now I'm standing on the land of more than enough. I came from not enough to just enough to more than enough. And God has promised me. I'm going to tell you something. Tabernacle, let me tell you something, man of God. I sense in my spirit that God's about to do something in this church like you never have before. Y'all seen God moving. Y'all seen souls saved. Y'all been seeing lives change. And I want you to know that God sent me tonight to tell you in the midst of what God's doing, he don't want you to get distracted. That's the greatest tool of the enemy is to get you distracted. So I'm going to give you three things tonight that's going to keep you, that Caleb did, that kept him from getting distracted. Number one, if you're right taking notes, you ought to write this down. He never let go of the promise. He never let go of the promise. Look at chapter 14, verse 7. The Bible said, he said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy the land. I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, and what are with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord, my God. Caleb said, look, y'all do what you want to do. I got the promise in my hands. I'm not going to let go of the promise. And while Caleb was having the promise, the rest of the crowd, sister, almost 2 million Jews walked round and round and round and round and round in circles for 40 years. Why? Because they beat a report of 10 negative people over two people that were standing there with the promise of God in their hand. I'm telling you, that man of God that stands here every week with the promise of God in his hand, and the enemy, I'll do everything he can and get you distracted, because he wants you to go round and round and round and round and round in circles, because you can't go nowhere if you're going in circles. God is ready to take you somewhere if you're going where God wants you to go. Whatever you do, don't never let go of the promise. Do I have a witness in the house? Listen to me. I'm going to mess you up right here. Whew. I need two married people. Are y'all two married? Are you not yet? Give me a couple that's married. Come up here on the platform. I don't care who you are. Two of you that's married. I ain't going to do nothing crazy. Y'all, come on. I ain't going to do nothing crazy. Come here, bro. I ain't going to do nothing crazy. I know you think I'm crazy. I promise I ain't going to do nothing crazy. That's depends on, have you got your engagement ring and wedding ring?
Yes.
Okay, come here for just a minute. I need y'all. Now, come on up here for just a second. I ain't going to do nothing crazy. You don't have to really come up here if you want to. Y'all can stand right here. Okay. Now, I want you to give him your rings. Let him have both your rings for just a moment. I want you to see something. Now, what's your name?
Tammy.
Yours is what?
David.
Now, I don't know how he did it, but somewhere, somehow, this man of God, I don't know if he got on his knees, I don't know when he did it, but he looked you in the face and said, honey, would you marry me? And you said, yes, I will. And so what he did, give her his engagement ring, put that back on the finger, hold the wedding ring, and just give her the engagement ring. Now, he took the engagement ring and put on her finger. You know what that engagement ring is? That engagement ring is a promise. Now, he's not married yet, but she has a promise. And somebody else, a man may have walked up to you and said, I'm telling you right now, boy, girl, you're beautiful. And you say, hey, before you go any further, I want to show you something. And she showed any other man, I've already been promised. I got the promise on my hand. Now, she wasn't married yet, but she had the promise. Thank y'all. That's all I want them to see. Now, you can have the wedding, give her wedding band back too.
Yeah.
All right. Now she's married. She had the promise, and now she's married. But the whole point is this. You might not be where God wants you to be yet, but you got the promise. Your child may not have turned around yet, but you got a promise. You might not have that need met yet, but you got a promise. You might not see where God wants you to be yet, but you got a promise. As long as you got the promise, I'm telling you right now about the promise of God. Listen to it. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, the word of God said, God, all of God's promises in him are yes and amen. You don't have to wait till it happens. I go ahead and praise God, because you know it's going to happen. You say, why? Because Numbers 23:19 said, and God's not a man, and he should lie. I'm the son of man, and he should repent. Have he not spoken it? Have he not said it? I shall God not make it good? If God said it, you can hold on to the promise. And whatever Caleb, I was going through that day, and Caleb never let go of the promise. He said, y'all go round and round, you want to. I'm not going to let the promise go. If God said it, I've already been there. I've already seen it. I'm going to keep moving. Oh, somebody help me up in here.
Amen.
The first thing, church, if you're not going to get distracted, you got to hold on to the promise. God give this man of God a vision, and you might not see the vision, but that's your man of God. You stand with him. You stand with First Lady, and you love on him. Let me say number two. The second thing I want you to see is this. Not only did Caleb not let go of the promise, but don't give up in the process. Don't give up in the process. Look at verse 8 of Joshua 14. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Don't give up in the process. This is where a lot of God's people lose it. They lose it above and more in the process, because they got a promise, but then they got to go through a process. On your way with the promise, you're going to have to go through some process. I'm telling you what I know tonight. I'm telling him I've been saved for 39 years. I've been preaching for 38 years. I've been pastoring now for 36 years this September. But I'm telling you right now, I have been through the process. And I know I got some more. But I'm telling you right now, what's kept me through the process is the fact I've held on to the promise. When I felt like giving up, when I felt like quitting, when I felt like I couldn't go no more, by the grace of God, I've held on to the promise, because I knew if God had been for me, and couldn't nobody have been against me. I made up in my mind, I'm going to lift my eyes to the hills, which come my help, because my help come from the Lord. Anybody got a God like that? Say amen right there. Watch this. I'm going to tell you something about me, young man. I know you don't know Preacher Steele. I know I'm wild and crazy. But let me tell you something from my heart. I'm one of these preachers. I love hard. If I ever tell you I love you in your face, behind your back, when you're around, that's the way I love. And I had preachers tell me, preacher, I love you, Brother Steele. But I found that the love was conditional. And I'm telling you, I found that out. I couldn't understand. My phone used to ring off the hook with preachers that were close by calling me. Hey, bro, how's it going? Hey, let's go out to lunch together. Let's go fellowship. All of a sudden, the phone was dead. I called one of the leaders of the group. I said, what's wrong? Am I preaching something different? Am I doing something wrong? He said, no, brother. I'm going to tell you what it is. But I want you not to let it blow your head up. I said, what? Back during that time, that's been some years ago. That's probably been 10, 15 years ago when all this transpired. Because I love these preachers. I thought they loved me the same way I love them. And he said, it's jealousy. I said, you got to be kidding me. What have I got to be jealous about? He said, well, you got 1,000 people in church. And some of these men have been preaching for 30 and 40 years. I said, they only have 40 or 50 people. I said, why would you compare yourself to somebody else anyway? I said, I got 14 bus routes. I got 850 kids riding them buses. And I don't have, back then I might have had 100 adults. Can you imagine having 100, 150 adults and 850 kids? You want that? Ask God to give it to you. You won't be asking long. I was just trying to, we didn't have two nickels to rub together. To have my money, it costs. It was just the grace of God that we was able to do that. But yet people cut me off just because of something, trying to reach a child. And they made fun of them because he's running the buses, feeding kids. Let me tell you something. I had one of my deacons now. See, what they didn't know, I wasn't looking at the moment. I was looking 10 years from now, 15 years from now. One of the little boys that rode the bus at 8 years of age is now one of my deacons. And he's over him. He's one of over our men's ministry. And Brother Waddell told me, he said, preacher, what you didn't know, he stood and told the church. He said, when you come, we was way back in the way, you couldn't even see our house. He said, them weeds was that high, come back to house. He said, but down that road every Saturday, we look for that car to come down and preacher to come and knock on that door. Little bubble gum he gave us and brought it to the church. He said, what you didn't know, preacher? The only food we ever got, what y'all gave us, went to church. My family's on crack cocaine. And all my family jacked up. The only hope we had was waiting on you to come. I'm glad God didn't let me get distracted. I'm glad God didn't let me give up. I'm glad God didn't let me give in. But I'm telling you right now, what you're going to have to do, I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. You grab a hold of the promise and don't let go when you go through the process. Somebody help me. Preacher, by the time I get done with your pulpit, we're going to have promise all over them. Grapes is everywhere. But watch this. I'll tell you something. Here's what I found out. You see, process where most people give up. You see, every child in here, their goal is to walk across the platform in school. But you don't start out in the 12th grade. You start out back here in kindergarten. And you learn what you need in kindergarten so you can step over in the first grade. And then you can step over in the third grade and the fourth all the way to the 12th. But my point is this. I don't get down and just jealous or hating on a brother or sister because you see God taking their life somewhere. Because you don't know what grade or what they've been through. So you're looking at the glory. But everybody got a story. And behind the glory, as I talk to them, they ain't always been where they are right now. They hadn't stood where they're standing right now. What they've learned to do is grab a hold to the promise and take the promise through the process. Oh, am I right about it? The enemy. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. You say, what do you do? When I see those preachers out anywhere in a store, anything, I know they don't like it, but I grab their hand, put my arms around them, and tell them, I love you, my brother. Why? Because I told a brother not long ago, that won't have nothing to do with me. I told him, I said, I don't care what you try to do. You can't stop me from loving you. I said, because he said a friend loved it all the time. And I said, let me tell you something else. I've never let a pulpit come between me and your relationship. Just because you don't do things the way I do it. I mean, me and you are two different people. Why you want me to be like you? Why you want me to, you want to be like me? Do you want to act crazy like me? Do you want to be wild? Why you want to do it? Just be yourself. Life is short. And we don't know how much time we got on this planet. And we ain't got time to try to be like nobody else. We got time to be like the King of Glory. Because it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about glory. It's about the heaven. Am I right about it, church? So I said, number one, never let go of the promise. When people are talking about you, hold on to the promise. When they said you can't make it, hold to the promise. Preach it when you feel like giving up. Hold to the promise. When you say I can't do it no more, just hold to the promise and go through the process. Let me tell you something. I was going to wait till tomorrow. I'm going to show you this now. I bought two balls with me. The purpose of this basketball is to take it and go through a hoop. That's why it's here. I got another ball. I want to show you something. It looks a little bit different, but you can play basketball, both of these balls. This ball, it won't bounce. This ball, it'll bounce. It's walking in its purpose. What's the difference in the ball? Is it shade on the outside? It's the breath that's in the inside. Yeah! What makes this ball walk in its purpose? It's got air in it. That ball don't have no air. If that ball get air, it can do just like this ball. What I'm trying to tell you right now, what makes you what you are is not what you look like on the outside. It's the breath of God that's on the inside. Am I right about it? Somebody help me in here. Let me show you something. Let me give you this. Now I'm quitting. Whoa! Glory to God. Number three, and I quit with this. If you hold on to the promise, and if you go through the process, then God, number three, will turn your yet into your now. He'll turn your yet into your now. He'll turn your yet into your now. Look at Joshua chapter 14. Look at verse 10. And I want you to watch every time he says now. Watch this. Caleb talking. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I'm in this day, 85 years old, I'm 85. As yet I am strong this day, as I was the day that Moses sent me out. And my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for of war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake of. Watch this. Caleb said, because when everybody else had turned around and walked in the wrong direction, I wholly grabbed the promise. I held on to the promise. I went through the process and what I had to deal with. Listen, do you ever realize what Caleb went through? Brother Moore, Caleb, he watched all these people die in the wilderness. He watched Moses die. He watched Joshua take over. He watched him walk through the Jordan River and get to the other side. He watched attack of the enemies. He never let go of the promise. He never let go. He went on through the process, and now he was standing over here looking back and said, look, all those people that died in the wilderness, I'd have been in the same place if I had held on to the promise and went through the process. And because God has turned my yet into my now, I'm standing right here now. But I'm telling you right now, that child that's gone astray, I tell you, if you hold on to the promise, to the process, I'm telling you, one day God is going to bring him back home. That marriage that seemed to be falling apart, God is going to turn it around. That ministry that you said, I don't know if I can go another step, if you hold on to the promise, to the process, I promise you, God will turn your yet into your now. I'm telling you right now, that business that's struggling, if you hold on to the promise and the process, he'll turn your yet into your now. I'm telling you right now, around the tabernacle, God is getting ready to turn your yet into your now. But you got to hold on to the promise and go through the process and shout anyhow and praise God anyhow and glory anyhow and amen anyhow. Glory to God. Somebody help me in the house. Amen. Watch this. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. My clothes isn't coming off. That bring me back for just a minute. I want to show you one more thing. And I'm quitting. I told you last night, I was in West Virginia, Brother Moore, preaching with Brother Dr. John Smith last week in Princeton, West Virginia. While we was up there, he said, I'm going to wrap it up about 14 times before he quit. So I told him, I said, I'm taking that back with me to North Carolina. I said, I'm going to wrap it up. I said, everybody think you're going to wrap it up. And he said, but I am going to wrap it up after this. I promise you. I want to show you something. I brought my toothpaste with me. Because, young man, before I go to bed at night, when I get up in the morning, when I go home tonight, I hit him again. Hey, toothpaste, I need you right now. Come out of here. Come out of here. Why come my toothpaste won't come out? What do I need to do to get toothpaste out? Oh, I got to squeeze it. When I start putting pressure on it, it starts rising to the top. What I want you to know, you wonder why God's squeezing you. Because you got something in you that God is trying to get out of you. God's about to squeeze out your husband. God's about to squeeze out your wife. He's about to squeeze out your business. He's about to squeeze out your job. He's about to squeeze out your breakthrough. He's about to squeeze out your turnaround. He's about to squeeze out your past. But I'm telling you right now that God's putting pressure on you tonight because there's something coming out of you that you didn't know you had in you and you'd have never got it out unless God puts you under pressure. But I promise you tonight, you hold on to the promise and you go through the process and you watch God turn your yet into your now. Anybody believe that? Say amen. Let's bow here.